the Creator and the creation of the basic elements of the physical universe. And it's energizing by the Spirit of God. Tonight, we will undertake a study of that which is created on the very first day of creation according to the Genesis record. According to the Genesis record, the very first thing that is created is light itself. Now, this is very important. And while it is not necessarily highly inspirational, it is of extreme importance that we grasp the declaration of the creation of light. Many years ago, while I was still in college at Cal Baptist, I was working nights, and I would go to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and get off at 12:30 at night. And at lunchtime, usually I would use that time to try to do some reading or some study or some work, but invariably I would have my Bible present, and in the lunchroom there would always be a few people who had a few negative things to say. One of them was a young man, a couple of years older than I at the time. I was in my sophomore year. He was in his senior year at the University of California studying molecular biology. And so he made several passing negative comments over a period of weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally, one night he came and plopped down opposite me at a table and he said, "When are you going to recognize that the book that you're reading is full of misinformation and is full of error, and it is absolutely an unreliable source for any information of any kind?" And I said, "Well, you're welcome to your opinion, but I believe I will hold to my position." And he pulls out a list. And he said, "Here are 15 things that are incorrect about the book you're reading right now. And I want you to look at them and research them and discuss them with me." I said, "I will take your list, and I will look into this matter, and I will discuss it with you." One of the first things that he had on the list was the subject of light. And it still is a hot subject in every field of science today. And basically what he said, and you need to be prepared for it. And so it's a good reason for us to spend extra time on this section of Scripture tonight. But what he said on his list was, the Scripture says, and he quoted the verse in Genesis 3 of the first chapter, that God created light. And I said, "Well, that's correct. That's what it said." And he says, "Well, would you read on further?" And I said, "I have read on further." And he said, Well, you will find later in chapter 1, I believe it's on the fourth day that God created the stars, the luminaries, the sun, and the moon. So you have a great conflict, do you not? That one verse says God created light as the first thing, and then in the fourth day, he creates that which causes and produces light. So how will you intellectually bring those two truths together? So tonight we will do that. Okay? Because that is still a great argument circulating, okay, in people who want to disprove the authenticity of the Bible. So this subject of light is very important. And the fact that it is mentioned first. Now, first of all, I did not prepare. I have two lesson sheets. One is being, it's on that back right there, Steve. And place it with this stack right up here. All of you have the first one. And that stack is the second one, right here by Linda, if you would, please. Just some information about the nature of light to start with. That is not on your study sheet. And you may want to jot it down. Light has both physical and spiritual properties. Light has both. It has physical and it has spiritual properties. Another important factor about light can be measured. The speed of light can be measured. Light can be divided into various phenomena. Gamma rays, radio waves, ultraviolet rays, infrared properties. There is even such a thing as black light. That would seem to be a contradiction, but it's so. Light can be separated and divided. What is used to do that today is called a spectroscope. A spectroscope can divide and separate light particles. Another interesting property of light is that it can be twisted and bent. For example, if I were to take a long hose and I could twist that hose and turn it and bend it and put a light in this end of it, the light would go through all of those twists, turns, and come out the other end. So light can be twisted and bent without any destruction whatsoever. Okay? It has some incredible properties. The reason I'm talking about this is when we read in God said, let there be light, what an amazing, amazing thing that was. We're not talking about throwing on an electric switch. We're not starting about turning on a generator. Oh, no. Far more is involved in this great declaration, which we will see. Light can be heated without destruction, and it can be heated to the point of incandescence. Light can penetrate. It can pass through a substance as hard as a rock and come out the other side. Yeah, it can. Light can be bent by mirrors and reflections. But here's the most amazing thing about light. Light cannot be corrupted. It can't be corrupted like air, like water, like soil. Light is light. I believe that property is what part of what is encased in declarations like God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Cannot be corrupted. Today, all forms of science, in all forms of science, the greatest mystery is the origin of light. All sciences acknowledge that nothing could come into being or exist without the presence of light. Nothing could. So, where did light come from? Is light then looked upon as the first cause? No, why scientists struggle, and they do struggle. I like what is said in Job, the 38th chapter. Let's turn to that. I love how God talked to Job. In fact, sometimes when I read through Job, I just giggle. In the 38th chapter of Job, beginning at the 19th verse, God poses some questions to Job, but the same questions are posed today to modern man, and man does not have an answer for it. Job 38, beginning at the 19th verse. This is God talking to Job about the subject of light. And he says to Job, "Hey, Job, in your intelligence and your wisdom, Almighty Job, where is the way where light dwells?" We can see it. The eye can behold it. And its properties are many. But what do we know about it? In all fields of science, are absolutely stumped by the presence of light. And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it in the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it? Because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of hail? Treasures of snow. If we were to go right now into parts of Montana, we would already find huge snow banks existing. Mounds. Mounds and mounds. Early snows in Montana. 4 and 5 feet already in some areas. Early winter. Some of those snow banks are miles and miles and miles long. How many snowflakes would be? How many? Huh? The computer would blow its fuse trying to figure it out, right? Huh? And we look at those snowbanks, and here's a mystery. Out of all those snowflakes, no two of them will have the same design. Every single one of them will have a totally different design that is perfect in form. So, my friends, have you ever entered into the treasures of snow? Oh, that's just the beginning. The God who has such creativity. If I tried to design a snowflake, I tremble to think what it would look like. Do you know the treasures of hail which I have reserved against the time of trouble and against the day of battle and war? Has he done that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. In Israel's history, he used hail in their battles. And it's going to happen again, according to the book of Revelation. Hail will come upon this land yet one more time. In an act of judgment. What's the biggest hail you've seen? I've seen them the size of softballs. In northern Arkansas. Yeah. Twenty-fourth verse. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? What God is doing is presenting to Job thoughts that are beyond man's ability to even begin to grasp. Now, where do I come from? Only the Word of God gives us a reliable source concerning life. No other source in all the world can do so. But the Word of God gives us this in Genesis 1:3. What does it say? And God said, So light is a created substance. Light is a created substance. And God created it. And what better one to create it than he who is light? Amen? Now we know, and we can agree with the young person who was challenging my faith and trust in God's Word. We know that this light in the third verse is not the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Don't we? Look at the fourth verse. the fourth day of creation, you will find it is not until the fourth day of creation that the sun, the moon, and the light were created. And because we are such logical people, we know that our light comes from the sun, the moon, and the luminaries. And so if they were created on the fourth day, then according to human logic, light could not have been created on the first day. But it's simply because we do not comprehend the true essence and the true nature of light that we have that conflict. The only ultimate explanation is that light is a created product resulting from the moving, brooding, quickening work of the Spirit of God. Is that what the Bible says? What does the third verse say? God what? God said, let there be light. Now that's a good translation. I like some of the older Jewish translations. Some of the older Jewish translations do not have all of our little expressions that we feel are so important to communication, like in, out, of, where, that. No. The Hebrew is pretty blunt. In the Hebrew, it says, and God said, light be. I like that. Why do we need all the other? There was light. In your first sheet, how does light come into existence? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. And God what? Said, light be. By the spoken declaration of the Word of God, light came into existence. We'll talk about that light in a few moments. In our text tonight, God is mentioned four times. His actions are described as God said, God saw, God divided, God called. The name of God continues to be in the first chapter of Genesis, Elohim. The majestic, okay, almighty one, Elohim. The word said is amar. It means willed, decreed, ordered. It speaks of accomplished purpose. God said. The authority of the Word of God. Think about it. That which had never existed and that which would be so necessary to everything else that ever exists, light, was brought into being by the spoken Word of God. The omnipotent, omnipotent power behind the spoken Word of God. What do you have before you? What do you have before you? This is as much the Word of God as that moment and that time when God willed light into existence. Oh, saints, how precious the Word of God. Are we not told even in this Word of God that it is powerful, quick, life-giving? That word, quick. You know that? Life-giving. But this. I wish I'd had 5 hours this morning. Literally. For I wanted to talk about the works of God. For the works of God always start with light. Yeah, did then, always has, and always will. Amen? Light. This matter of light is of such extreme importance to us. The determining will of God, as we will see in our study of creation, was followed in every instance by an immediate result. Just the determining will of God. It is by this means Elohim will arrange the entire order of the universe as we look through Genesis 1. God said will be declared 9 times in chapter 1 of Genesis. 9 times. And it is by that means that God brings forth entire creation by the power of His declared Word. When God wills, that's all that's necessary. When God wills, God does not need to make preparations. I do. To get things done. I have to get all things together. And then after I get all things together, I sometimes don't get things done. Not done. God doesn't need preparation. He does not employ any resources. He needs no outside agency to accomplish His purposes and His will. He speaks, and it's done. Amen. His Word alone contains all things necessary for the fulfillment of His will. Psalm 33:6 says, what? By the what? Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. What a mighty God. The records of ancient religions and mystical religions of creation have their gods using all sorts of things to bring forth creation. their presentations defy any sense of reasoning or logic. For instance, several of them say that three of the gods of ancient religions harnessed lightning to create the world. I don't have a problem saying that's a bunch of baloney. Huh? Where'd the lightning come from? Right. Only the Word of God says that it had all came into existence through the incredible, incredible spoken Word of God. God's Word is that powerful. Psalms 33:9, I love this. He spake, and it was done. Amen. He commanded, and it stood fast. In Hebrews 4:6, we find God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Amen? That's exactly the record that we have. God's will alone is all that is necessary for the miraculous to happen. Ephesians 1:11 says that He works all things, after the counsel of His own will. And it's true. Even creation. It is this one. This one? Everybody got one? Everybody got one? Got one? Got one? Got one? Got one? Yeah, it says, Gleanings from Genesis continued. Is that the one everybody had? When God said, let there be light, and there was light, we can see how important that question is that arises from it because of what we've already called attention to. The light that is spoken of in the third verse of Genesis existed before the creation of the sun, the moon, and the luminaries. Light, the Hebrew word, is or. Simple word. Oh, what it contains. Now, there are many, many, many uses of this word, light, in the Word of God. I mean, so many. But when it is used, whether in a spiritual sense or a physical sense, it is always referring to some illuminating factor. Light always has an illuminating factor involved in it. Whether it's speaking of truth, the light of truth, or whether it's speaking of the light of day, or the light that has shined among the Gentiles. Anytime light is used, it always has attached to it a great illuminating factor. Okay? So it is used in many ways. Many substances are referred to as light in the Scriptures. I've mentioned one, truth, is referred to as light. Okay? light, this word or, has attached to it always a concept of glowing brightness. Bringing forth a glowing presence. It is used to speak of lightning itself in scriptures. Or. It is used to speak, as we have said, of truth and of revelations, of knowledge, light. Light to the minds and hearts of men. It's obvious that visible light is being referred to here in Genesis 3, is it not? Why? God saw the light, that it was good. It is light that is visible. And that also, light that is being created, is contrasted with what? Darkness. So we know that it is a visible light that is being spoken of here. The following comments come from a physicist of MIT. He's a member of the United States Atomic Energy Commission, Dr. Gerald Schroeder. I'd like for us to think about these things in light of this declaration. God said, "Light be." In our first lesson in verses 1 and 2, we saw that God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Remember? And we discussed those things. Keep that in mind as we read some of these statements. He says, light is not itself a substance. I can't grab it. I can material things. I can water. Huh? I can soil. I can't grab light. Why? It's not a substance. It's not a substance, but it's the condition or state of matter. Light is produced from energized elements of matter. Now, are you kind of following this? Reading this material and going through it, I have condensed, but these are his statements. But my head was spinning. But I tried to stay with it for your benefits. And for those who in the future will question me about Genesis 1-3. I will be thoroughly prepared the next time. He goes on to say, all types of force and energy which interact in the universe involve three things: electromagnetic, gravitational, and nuclear forces. When would those have been created? In the declaration of Genesis 1. And God created the heavens and the earth. Those three elements would be present. And notice, what he says, all types of force and energy which are active in the universe involve only these three things. Then he goes on, the combination and blending of these forces would complete the energizing of the entire physical cosmos. What? The bringing into harmony these three great forces would energize the entire physical cosmos. How were they brought into order? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Amen. He hovered over those raw elements and brought them into a full harmony. And is that not what the Holy Spirit does? Hello? Where the Holy Spirit works, there will always be oneness, unity, and harmony. Pastor's been preaching from Acts, and I hope you did not miss that. Amen. Oh, the Spirit of God. I've seen the works of God. I've seen them. I've seen the Spirit of God change the heart of a man to turn that heart to his family, to his wife, and bring a family that was totally destroyed into harmony and oneness. I've seen it. I've never seen it, but I've heard of churches that had been racked with division, separated from one another, and at war. But the Spirit of God brought forth a combining, a blending of, a forming of. If He can do it with the entire universe, I think He can do it in my family. I think He can do it in my marriage. I think He can do it in the bodies of Christ. And if He were allowed to do so, He could do it right here in this terribly, terribly divided nation of ours. Amen. Amen. From this combining of these three basic elements, energy, heat, and light would be the result of these combined elements. Notice that. What would be produced? Light. Perhaps you have watched as I have, and my mind just thinks, oh God, what have we done? When there is a test nuclear explosion, what's the first thing you see? Brilliant light. Huh? Oh, I just... It's so brilliant that what? They have to wear, okay, protective goggles. They can't even, if they're miles, just miles in its presence, They have to wear protective vision. So the combining of magnetic forces, the combining of nuclear forces, and the combining of gravitational forces would produce what? Light! That had nothing to do with the sun, the moon, or the stars. So, young man, my Bible stands true and reliable against all your science. Amen? It's right here. It's right here. The light produced by these forces, energy, heat, and light, the light produced by these forces would produce the complete spectrum of light. That is light that is visible, ultraviolet, infrared, radiation, shortwave, and longwave phenomena. All. Okay. Of the spectrum of light that we know that exists would be created by this moment. This would be the energizing light that would be needed to sustain all the other created forms that will be brought forth on the forthcoming days of creation. Light had to exist for anything else to be created. We find this is the order of creation in Genesis. First 11 chapters. First day. What? Light. And that's in keeping with all science of this hour and this day. It had to be first. And they have no answer for where it came from, but we do. Amen. Amen. The first day is light. The second day, air and water. And great is the importance and significance despite all the nonsense and the hype that you constantly hear. Till this very hour, no constellation, no planet has ever been found that can sustain life. Just one. Just one. And the reason it can sustain life is because of light and because of air and water. Tremendous will be the things that we will uncover in God's Word about the atmosphere and about the original creation, what it looked like, the waters above and the waters below, and the firmament in between. All of those have great, great things that we need to understand and know. The third day will be land and plants. Well, light, air, and water have to exist before there can be land and plants. Amen? Huh? They could not exist. On the fourth day will be the creation of lights. The heavenly luminaries, the sun and the moon, the stars and the constellations. Why are they created? They have distinct purposes. And it's not to tell your fortune. In fact, while we're on this subject, we will see how much God forbids such a thing. The fifth day, fowls and fish. And the sixth day, animals and man. Now I want you to notice something. And this is unique to Hebrew thinking and Hebrew writing. Notice the first day is what? Light. What's the fourth day? Light. The pattern is that in God's order, first comes the form, and then comes the fullness. First comes the form, then comes the fullness. So the first day, light, but the fourth day, lights. What's the second day? Air and water. So what is the fifth day? 1,000 fish. I think that's where they dwell, isn't it? Huh? It's actually parallelism in Hebrew writing. And we'll see a lot of this in different ways. And what's the third day? Land and plants, and it relates to what? We need land and we need plants for existence. So the first day is correlated with the fourth day, the second day correlated with the fifth day, and the third day correlated with the sixth day. There is this matter of the form, and then the fullness comes. And then God rests. I hope you'll be present for our continuation in the study of Genesis.